you're ready for the word tonight, turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. Get started. I was praying today, God, what do you want me to teach tonight? Because I don't want to just bring you a word. I want to bring the word for the season we're in. And I was running through my head, well, I could preach this or preach that. And I just felt the Lord say, go to Matthew chapter 24. And I'm reading through it. And I know Matthew chapter 24 is about, you know, Jesus prophesying about the end times. I'm thinking, I just taught Revelation. I don't want to go through that again. I don't want to go into these things. And God kept saying, read Matthew 24. And as I did, and I got to one verse, I knew that was it. And so let's start at verse number 1. And let's read through this. Well, let's go to verse number 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And in other words, he was talking about the end times. When shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the ends of the world? Now, they ask him about three things. He said, when are these things going to be? When shall be the sign of thy coming, and what shall be the end of the world? There's really three questions there. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Now, this is not where we're going tonight, but it's important you see this, because this is what he's warning us about in the end times, which we are in. See that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am anointed, or I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Probably ministering about the end time grace of God, where you know God didn't see your sin anymore. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Now I'm telling you what, this was written 2,000 years ago. How many know there's so many people declaring, oh, let's have world peace, right? World peace, world peace. I've seen the bumper sticker of world peace that kind of jumped in my mind. Oh, we just need to have world peace. Listen, if we could have world peace, we'd have had it sometime in the past 2,000 years of man's history. And all we've done is become more deadly, more entrenched, and more potentially ready to destroy the world. We're not going to see world peace. Amen. And Jesus said at the end, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Isn't it amazing? There's so many people written, you know, sci-fi books and prophetic books and talked about, yay, sometime 200 years in the future, 500 years in the future, we'll have this system that's a worldwide government and everybody will be at peace and, you know, we'll be a one world in love system. Yet the Word of God, which is inspired of God, says, no, you will have wars. And we're still there. Again, demonstrating the accuracy of Scripture. Verse 8. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Oh my. That's just the beginning. Then shall they deliver you to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my namesake. In other words, there's going to come persecution on the church in the end times. Did you know there are forces in our government in the United States today who would love to put us out of business? They would love to shut us down. Amen. That will give all kinds of liberties to the heathen and to the wicked. But let somebody stand up and proclaim righteousness, and now you're the worst thing that could ever walk. Amen. Verse 10, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. The Bible talks about, in the end times, there'll be a great falling away take place in the church. It's known as the great apostasy. And we've thought, oh, what's that going to be? Is it going to be, People have said, well, it's the prosperity doctrine. It used to be it was the healing doctrine. It was the charismatics. Praying in tongues was a great apostasy. Some are still proclaiming that today, that the great apostasy is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They're leading ministers today still declaring that anybody that prays in tongues is going straight to hell. I'm talking about, if I name names, you would know that you'd know the names that are leading names in Christianity, including John MacArthur. He's one of the primary ones. I am leaning in the direction that this hyper-grace message that sounds so good is so tempting, so wonderfully appealing, that you can just go and, you know, be a member of the church and never have to worry about whether God's going to, you know, convict you of sin again. You can do what you want to. I'm starting to lean towards the, not leaning, I move that direction. That is the end time apostasy. This thing is sweeping the world right now. And so take heed, the word says, heed what you hear. Take heed who you listen to. Take heed whose posts you like on Facebook. Amen. Because right now it is absolutely devastating much of the body of Christ. Amen. God not only sees sin, He convicts you of it so you can get free of it. Grace was never meant to be the power of God to excuse sin. It was meant to be the power of God to be free from sin, to live above it, to walk in victory. He says, verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Sin abounding shuts down the agape flow of God. So when you have a move of God where the church embraces that it's okay to sin, God doesn't see it. Instead of becoming the loving church you're trying to proclaim, you're shutting down the flow of love in your midst. Because the agape of God does not move through unholy vessels. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, does that let you know why you've maybe been in some battles? It didn't say the one that floats on a cloud to the end will be saved. One that never has a problem, that just enjoys every day of Christianity like it's just the best thing since sliced bread, and they never have any kind of challenges or oppression and any kind of fears they have to cast down, never have to press through the flesh to sow a seed or to get to church or to believe God. Amen. It's talking about the one that says, I refuse to be moved. The one that endures is the one that says, I refuse to be moved off of what I know to be the truth. First, just look for an easy route. You mean I don't need to pray in tongues, you know, for any length of time and God treats me the same? No, that's what you're being told, but it's not what the Word says. Amen. You mean I go to church when I feel like it and God will treat me the same? No, that's not what the Word says. A faithful man shall abound with blessing. Right? Verse 14, that's where we want to go. This is the verse that jumped out. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. Now, the church has proclaimed for years that once we just preach the gospel, we preach Jesus throughout the world, then the rapture is going to take place. And many say, well, we've done that now. You know, we've had evangelists go through the world and talk about Jesus. And so he's ready to come back anytime. That's not what this verse says. It doesn't say the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the gospel of the kingdom. And what we've missed in all of our anticipation of the rapture is the recognition that we've barely started to preach the kingdom throughout the earth. We're just now moving into the revelation of what the kingdom is ourselves in these end times. We've always thought for years the kingdom of God was someday when we get over to heaven. So we thought preaching the kingdom was to preach about Jesus and salvation. And that's not what the Word is saying. Jesus wasn't saying preach salvation throughout the earth. Are y'all with me? He was saying, preach the kingdom. What do you mean, preach the kingdom? How to live out of the realm of the kingdom of God now versus be dependent upon the system of the world now. 4 times the scriptures declare the just shall live by faith. Faith is the power of God to connect with the kingdom of God in heaven to bring the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God in heaven to earth to have the kingdom of God in your life. And the gospel of the kingdom is actually the ministry of the word of faith. How to believe God? How to believe God for supernatural manifestation in your life? A supernatural call of God on your life fulfilled supernaturally. So Jesus was saying, I need you to get this revelation. I'm not coming back. The end's not going to be until people hear about another realm you can live out of. Now, that produces supernatural results. Now, I ministered some time back that message on Jesus going around giving people a taste of the kingdom. That he would go around and he would heal and he would minister. He would feed the 5,000, the 4,000 supernaturally and saying, this is what the kingdom does. Jesus never came to feed all the poor people. He didn't even come to heal everybody on earth. Yes, he did. He healed them all. No, he healed all that came to him. He didn't go to town and heal everybody in town unless they came to him. He only fed the 5,000 that came to him. So what he did is he says, you take a step towards me in a level of some level of hunger, and I will show you what the kingdom will do. Now it's up to you to now position yourself to move into the kingdom by faith to experience the full manifestation of kingdom living in your life, right? And so that's what our assignment is in these end times, is to give people a taste of the kingdom. When you go out, you give them a taste of the kingdom. Expect to move into supernatural. Expect for God to multiply finances. For the heal at your hand. I mean, we had to expand our revelation of what God can really do. To do miracles at your hand out there to give people a taste, to show them what it can do, to draw them into here where we then teach them how to live in the kingdom. My assignment is not to preach the cross. That's your assignment. You follow me on this? Now we talk about the cross. How many of us know that no greater blessing than the cross? Praise God for the cross. But my assignment is to take people past the cross into the kingdom. So what we have here is over here, say on this side of the sanctuary, on the right side of the sanctuary, from where you're at, over here we'll call this the world system. This is where all you have available is natural strength, natural intellect, natural power, natural provision. Amen. And the curse. Over here is the kingdom of God. Over here you've got supernatural healing, supernatural provision, supernatural love, supernatural overflow, amen, and a war. What do you mean there's a war? The kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. There's a battle over here. There's going to be more battle here against the forces of darkness than there are over here. But at least over here, you have the ability to win over the curse. There you have no chance. And the division between the two, right here in the center, is the cross. So your assignment is to get people out there to the cross, or at least get them in here where they can hear more about the kingdom or see it and receive the cross. But once they come to the cross, the assignment on the church is to take people into the kingdom. Yet we thought that the end would come once we brought the cross to all the world. Are you following this? We thought once we preached the cross to all the world, then the end shall come, but that's not it. God wants to show people His kingdom. He wants kingdom manifestation in the world in these end times. For the earth shall be filled with a knowledge, in other words, a taste, of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. When the knowledge is there, people get a taste. It'll be up to us and others like us to manifest the glory that multitudes can taste of. For taste and see that the Lord is good. And so the cross is the connector between the old life, the old system, the old dependency and the curse, and the new system of living by faith, living in the blessing, living in victory over the curse, victory over sin, amen, and in the overflow. And so getting to hear was just a matter of hearing the gospel testimony of Jesus. But again, getting to hear and operating in here is having the Word totally saturate the way you think and operate. See, my assignment is to teach people the principles of the kingdom of God. How does the kingdom operate? Amen. I've got to teach faith, seed time, and harvest. I've got to teach the power of words and how to stand and how to hear God and know the difference between the voice of the devil and the voice of God. How to rightly divide the Word of God. How to know who you are in Christ Jesus and how to know the authority you have. I've got to teach these principles. Amen. Because once you know the principles, you can operate in the power of God. I remember when I was a kid. Understand, I lived on a farm. Part of my life. Good part of it. And I was living in Huntsville, Alabama at the time. And I'm probably 10 years old, maybe 11 or something like that. We're going up beside this mountain, and they were doing some construction there. And somebody left a tractor there. And I don't know if it had keys or didn't have keys, but whether it needed keys or not, but if it needed keys, the key was in it. And all our friends were saying, there's a tractor, they left a tractor. Man, we can only drive a tractor. I said, I can drive that tractor. I've been on a tractor before. You follow me? I'm off the farm. 10-year-old on the farm knows how to drive a tractor. Thing is, the tractor's on a hillside like this. It turned out okay. I get on it, push in that clutch, throw the gas up, hit that starter, boom, 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 it starts up. Man, the other kids were scattering. So I drive it a few feet, turn it off. Everything's fine, and fortunately stayed on the hillside. That was the big concern, whether it would just take off rolling down the mountain. And I rode it over the tractor. I did what nobody else could do because I knew the principles of driving a tractor. See, if you learn the principles of something, you can function in that area. Amen. You know, we've got people in here that know computers. They know the principles of operating certain software computer systems so they can function in it. They can run that power. If you don't know it, you can't run it. Amen. You know what's always fun? Is give your mother and your mother-in-law iPads. Or they get them. Should say give them, they get them. Or anything with more than one remote control. And you will be in phone bondage the rest of your life. Because you know how to run the remote. They don't know how to run the remote. And so they're on the phone with you. How do I do this? How do I do this? My mother's always saying, I can't get on the internet today. I said, well, check this. Go to here. She said, and I'll be driving. She said, how do you know that? How do you know it looks like that? Well, I've done it before. I've learned the principles of iPad, at least to that level. If it gets beyond me, I call Rebecca. She doesn't even have one, still knows how to fix mine. The point being is what you learn the principles of, you can function in. So if you don't learn the principles of the kingdom of God, you can't function in the power of the kingdom of God. It's sitting right there like a tractor nobody can run because you don't know how to start it or put it in gear or anything. And the one that knows how to operate in the principles gets to function in that area. Now here's the problem we have. So many people come out of the world, they come to the cross, they get saved, and never learn the principles to move into the kingdom. So when we talk about the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached throughout the earth, it's the gospel of the principles of the kingdom. It's learning how does this kingdom function? How does faith really work? What do you mean we have power in our words? What do you mean that, you know, you never know when your number's up, God could take you at any time? Charles Capps went on to be with Jesus this week. Have you guys seen the testimony of what happened? You know who Charles Capps is? Charles Capps is one of the leading teachers of the Word of Faith. He is one of the generals in learning to use the power of your words. In fact, Kenneth Copeland, others that would go fishing with him, they hated to go fishing with him. Because Charles Capps so knew or understood the power of his words, they go fishing. The first thing he'd do is stop and say, I command the largest fish in this place to come to my lure right now. And he'd always catch the biggest fish and the most fish and everything else. And they said, Charles, it isn't fair. Now, that sounds ludicrous to some, but that is validated testimony of those that have gone fishing with him. And he died Sunday morning at 80 years old. I shouldn't say died. He went home. I think it was Friday. He called his family and he said, God told me I'm going home in 3 days. He's in perfect health. He said, God told me it's my time. I'm going home in 3 days. Get all the family in here. So they all came in and had a party. You know, he celebrated with family. He says, and I've told the Lord I want to go in my sleep. And so he went to sleep Saturday night and never woke up. Woke up in heaven. No sickness, no disease, no debilitating, condition. God just says, your time's, you finished the work. You've done a great job. Come home. That's the way a saint's supposed to do it. Now, 80's too young for me. I got 40 years to go at 80. Are you following me if the rapture doesn't take place? But rapture takes place first load. I'm out of here. But that's the way we're to function in the kingdom. And so those that learn the principles of the kingdom get to function in the power of the kingdom. Those that don't stop at the cross. And they may gain salvation, but they never learn how to flow in victory. And God's plan is to take the kingdom into all the earth. Amen. And of course, because you never learn to flow in victory if you don't learn the principles, many times the not knowing how to get victory over sin and get victory over the oppression, the anxiety, and the fear will many times drive people back into the world system. It's when you get into order and function in kingdom power that you get established where no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. Amen. And of course, you've got to believe that and confess it for it to work anyway. If you don't believe no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and you don't confess no weapon formed against you shall prosper, then weapons formed against you will prosper. You've got to stand on what God has said, which is another principle of the kingdom of God, right? Having done all to stand, stand ye therefore. So Matthew chapter 4. That we probably won't get out of Matthew tonight. And what I want to talk about in this, it's going to become a series here, is the end time gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom in the end times. What is this thing supposed to do for us in these end times? Because it's supposed to do more than just get us to spiritual salvation. It's supposed to get us into being sanctified spirit, soul, and body, aiming and operating in the victory of the Word of God. Matthew 4, have you got it? Let's go to verse number 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. We'll get to that in just a second. He says he preached the gospel of the kingdom and healed. Now I want to start off talking about it since he preached this message all through Galilee. Galilee was really a third of what we would call, not really Israel, but that territory at the time. There was Judah, Samaria, and Galilee. So Galilee is a fairly large area of land, like a small state today. And he moved all throughout preaching the kingdom. Now here's the point. You've been coming to this church for probably some time. And after coming to this some time, we still haven't mastered to the place we're functioning fully in the kingdom. And in these days, people couldn't even be born again yet when Jesus was walking on the earth. You know, before the cross. They couldn't even be filled with the Spirit. So Jesus is not going anyplace and teaching people how to become victorious functioning out of the kingdom. Because you can't do that in one visit. You know, he's going city to city. He's only got 3.5 years he's ministering. He's got a lot of territory to cover. And so he's only going to a city maybe for a few days, maybe for a week. And what he's doing is holding a big evangelistic crusade to tell people about the kingdom, to give them a taste of the kingdom. It says he taught the kingdom and he healed them. In fact, it says they brought people from all around and he healed all their diseases, all their sicknesses, right? Whoever were brought, he would give a taste of the kingdom, knowing in a matter of a short space of time, he was going to the cross and going to leave this world. Now, I haven't done it in some time, but I have in the past, we'd have maybe a car show outside or some gathering outside, and I'd see it and I'd say, Patty or whoever, make me a mocha frap. Decorate it up, put the hot chocolate syrup all over it, whatever, and I'd just walk under my frap. Amen. Didn't give people taste, but I'd show it. And people say, where'd you get that? Right there at the Java shop. Go over to the Java shop, you get you one. Amen. Now, what was I doing? Through visual taste. Understand, when it says a taste, it didn't always that they ate something. They could just see the signs and wonders. So I show them a Java shop frap, which is the best fraps around, better than McDonald's and Star would ever thought of having. At the Java shop where we have 66 flavors of milkshake. Amen. We'll just put that commercial in on the CD. People getting a visual taste creates a hunger in them to go seek out where to get one for themselves. Do you follow me? Now here's the problem. Here's Jesus. He's giving people a taste of the kingdom. Where does he send them? He can't send them back to the synagogue. That's the blind leading the blind and the dead burying the dead. What is he doing? What is the whole point of this ministry of Jesus? If he's giving people taste of this phenomenal product called the kingdom of God, where does he send them? You know what? He talked about it. He would even say, I'm going away. And then he would talk about the body of Christ, the church that was going to come up. See, Jesus, in giving people a taste of the kingdom, knew he was going to leave, but he was going to make a deposit in a group of disciples that would birth a church that then the people that had had a taste could come to. And there, learn how to fully function in his kingdom. There were groups that followed Jesus all over. Amen? I mean, after he rose from the dead, he appeared over 500 people. We don't know how many people were in the upper room starting out. You know, I've meditated this quite a bit. What would it have been like to have been in that upper room for those 10 days? And would I have stayed? I mean, think about it. 120 people gathering together for 10 straight days? I don't know if they slept there or not. I don't know if they slept there. They could have. You follow me? But they're coming there every day, spending all day together, and try to get people together for a 3-day meeting now. Say, so God gave me a word. If we'll show up, he's going to manifest himself. We're going to see blowout time. Well, you know, it's right in the middle of March Madness, and you know, the cat's game is on, and or I got this birthday party or family situation. How many of the 500 that he appeared to, they were all invited to the upper room? How many just couldn't get away for those 10 days? Well, if Jesus appeared to me, I would be there. Would we have? I mean, people had him crucified. Now, if a man raised from the dead, you'd think people would do what he said. Amen. But if Pastor Bob came here and says, we're going to have a 10-day meeting, God said to have a 10-day meeting, how many people are going to come? Now, that's not a rebuke. It's just letting you know what it takes to move into the deep things of God. It takes a determination and a seriousness. A commitment. And so Jesus gave people a taste. He says, now the church, he would hint at the church. But his plan was all along, the church was going to move in and be his full-time replacement. And churches could be established everywhere, that everybody that had a taste of the kingdom could come to the church and then learn how to function fully in the kingdom. Never intended for people to hear about the kingdom, get a taste, and do it on their own. It was always going to be as the church. And even today we have people saying, I don't need the church. I don't need a pastor. Amen. I go to a church, I feel like it. I don't want to go that direction tonight. The kingdom of God, supernatural power of the kingdom, God wants to bring it into manifestation throughout the earth in these end times. And he's calling forth the people that will go beyond easy, go beyond just getting by, go beyond just a nice cross message, you need to get saved, and go into how do you live in victory in these end times. Now see, in America, it doesn't seem like that big a deal to us because, you know, we've got so many systems provided to support us. Medical systems, welfare systems, you know, nursing homes. You know, we got systems. So why do I need to learn the kingdom? I got pills. I have a question you need to ask yourself. What do you run to first? A pill or a promise? Amen. Or a promise or a promissory note. That would preach right there, wouldn't it? That's why I've got it written down to preach sometime in the future. His kingdom people go to the promise first. And God's looking for people that will so place a demand on the Word of God. They determine to move in this life of living supernaturally. That it separates them from the natural thinking crowd. See, either we will learn how to function in the principles of the kingdom, or we will live a legalistic type lifestyle. There are even those right now that would say, you're over there, you're seeking after God like that, you're talking about faith, and you know, you're fasting and praying in the Word and praying in tongues and praying all night and all that stuff. I'm in liberty. I've got liberty. I'm under grace. It is finished at the cross. I don't need all that. Not realizing over in the realm of the anointing is where liberty really is. And here, if you don't learn the principles of the kingdom, no matter how nice you want to be, you're still caught up in a legalistic walk. Because instead of moving in the agape of God, you're just trying to be nice. So your law you're now put on your life is to try to be nice. I'm not trying to be nice alone. I'm trying to access an anointing which causes me to be nice supernaturally. The agape of God, the love of God, so supersedes the trying to be nice mindset. And over here's the liberty to do it by the power of God. Over here's the bondage of trying to make it happen yourself. And over here, nothing can take place except burnout, frustration, and deception. If you reject the taste that God gave you of the kingdom. Amen. I mean, it'd be like Patty. We went to a took one of her daughters out to eat last night. Ended up going through Fayette Mall, walking through there. And I went and got her Godiva chocolate. Got the wrong one. Amen. She didn't tell me which one to get. I was going to surprise her, but I got one she didn't necessarily like. So she went and got her own. But here's the thing. Once Patty tasted Godiva chocolate, Big Lots brand wasn't going to do it anymore. Not that it ever did. You know, you put Godiva down there, and you put Hershey's or, you know, even some other brands that are nice but not as nice, she's going to choose Godiva. In fact, to get to the Godiva stand, there might have been, you know, other kiosks she could have got candy at. If we went by one big kiosk in Fayette Mall, have you guys seen that one that's got all the candy in the center there? They've got a candy kiosk in Fayette Mall now. $12 a pound, mix and match. And it's gummy bears and gummy worms and all kinds of miscellaneous. Probably got 100 types of candy there, at least. And you spoon out what you want and they weigh it. She walked right by every one of those. 100 types of candy, she walked by the whole thing. Because just a little bit down was Godiva. Over here at the candy kiosk, it was $2.99 for a quarter pound. Over here at Godiva, it's $2.99 for a chocolate. But it was worth the trip and the money. Now she's a Godiva member or something, gets a free chocolate every month. So she collected her free chocolate. And I ate the one I bought for her. Point being is, once she tasted Godiva, she's not stopping at the $2.99 kiosk. She's going for the real thing. Well, God designed it. Once you taste and see that the Lord is good, and you taste what the kingdom of God can produce, and you see miracle healing. See, I know how it was with me. I've never been to church. I've never witnessed the supernatural. I never watched Oral Roberts on TV. Any of them. Are you kidding? Watch preachers on TV? I'll watch a test pattern first. Kids are going, like, what's the test pattern? We used to sit and watch it. There was nothing on TV in the morning or not. You'd watch the test pattern being in the morning. I remember when color TV came and they had the color bars at night. They'd go up there and you'd watch the color bars. Wow, look at that red. Wow. Look at that. Red, blue, where, you know. Oh, yeah. Oh, they'd always play America or something like that, and they'd have the jet plane flying. They'd recite that song. I have slipped the surly bonds of earth, danced on laughter's silver wings, and flown where never eagle flew. Amen. How many remember that one? So the point is, I never watched preachers. I had to remember where I was. I never watched the preachers on TV when I was little. And when I got saved through witnessing the gifts. I ain't heard about them before. This guy gets up through the word of knowledge and calls us out. We get saved, then not us. That's God. I knew it was God. And I had to make a decision. If this is God talking to me, it would be wise to answer him in the right fashion. I mean, I had nothing. Here I'm a heathen. I had that much sense. If God's calling me out by name like this virtually, didn't call my name, but he minds well of, let's go with God. And once they showed me there were supernatural gifts, I didn't know it. And we got invited to a full gospel businessmen's conference, a meeting. And of course, we end up at a church. Anyway, we start seeing the giftings. I said, God, you've got supernatural power. This is real. I knew it was real. Baptism of the Spirit, I knew it was real. If it's real, and see, I got a taste. And I had to choose, will I now settle for living in just the world and close my eyes to what God's given me a taste of that is not really there and say it's not for me? Or am I going to say, this is there, let's go into what God's shown us is there? See, there are certain foods, once I found it was there, something else isn't going to do. Amen. You know, once I discovered pit barbecue years ago, Sloppy Joe's just didn't do it. I can eat a Sloppy Joe, you follow me, but my goodness. Pit barbecue, slow cooked ribs, my goodness. I'm going for the good stuff. When I was a kid, understand, when I was real young, my parents didn't have any money. Dad was in the Air Force. Even after he got out of the Air Force, we didn't have much money. And so we learned some poverty mentality type stuff. And especially with, you know, we ended up with four kids in the family. We never had ice cream as a kid. My parents never bought ice cream. Me and most never. You know what? We had ice milk. Do they even make ice milk anymore? They don't even make it anymore, huh? Ice milk. It was like skim milk ice cream. I mean, it was like eating wax ice cream almost. I mean, just like icy, no creaminess. You know, now, I didn't know about creamy ice cream. When I discovered ice cream, when I got an adult and discovered ice cream, I have never bought ice milk in my life. Amen. I wouldn't think about if I could buy ice milk for, you know, 10 gallons for a dollar and ice cream was $10 for a scoop, give me the scoop. I had a taste. Culver's concrete, that custard. Amen. Once you get certain tastes, the other won't do. And once you get a taste of the kingdom of God, that natural living won't work. It just won't satisfy you anymore. But God's calling us in to fight through to do what's necessary to learn how to live out of this kingdom. And those who will do it in these end times, God's raising up to be end time kingdom spokesmen. There are right now in Georgetown, in this area, I'm sure 100 churches. Has anybody counted? There's in the vicinity of 100 churches in this area. How many kingdom churches are there? How many churches in there are they teaching you to live out of the kingdom? I don't know if there's any others. There's a whole lot of cross churches. There's a whole lot of apostasy churches, a whole lot of dead churches. Now, there could be others. I'm not saying it's the only church, you follow me. There could be. I don't study. But they're few and far between us teaching you how to live in the principles of the kingdom of God and to become kingdom spokesmen. It's amazing how many people proclaim to be kingdom spokesmen that do not know the principles of the kingdom. And want to tell you how the kingdom operates. I run into them all the time. I went a week or so ago after you guys blessed me for my birthday. And I went and bought a television and the sales guy tries to preach to me how the kingdom should function. And it's obvious he hadn't tasted what I tasted. He was still on ice milk. Amen. And how do you describe the taste of really good ice cream? Somebody's never had anything but ice milk. Well, it kind of tastes like what you have, but it's good. Look at what I have. This is good. We love the ice milk. Neapolitan ice milk. Amen. I always got Neapolitan, so we wouldn't have the arguments over what flavor. And we thought it was great. Ice cream! We were calling it ice cream. Mom brought home ice cream. It wasn't ice cream. I don't remember ever bringing home ice cream. Now, her and Dad probably went out and got ice cream on their own. But they brought home to the kids ice milk. Amen. You know, I'd say a half gallon of ice milk then probably cost 35 cents. You know, prices were cheaper back then. And so, we thought it was good. So we were willing to settle. We thought we would celebrate ice milk. Till we found out there was something out there that was a real thing. That would take you into really a higher level of delight. When Pat and I went to Hawaii last year, we discovered Rosalani ice cream. I have never had ice cream like this in my life. Made in Hawaii with their fresh produce. Oh my Jesus, I love you, Lord. Thank you for Rosalani ice cream. I started searching for it every day. Found it at the supermarket. $8 a half gallon. Welcome to Hawaii. I bought two of them. There was one called, what was it, cream? Something cream. And it was like putting heaven in your mouth. Now, I like ice cream. I'm an ice cream. Donuts and ice cream. You're talking about me right there. That is me, donuts and ice cream. Frank's Donuts and Rosalani ice cream. No offense to any other donut providers out there. I like them. And I like, was it Bunny Brand or whatever? What's the name of it? Blue Bunny. I like Kroger Homemade. I'm not a big fan of Breyers. Baskin Robbins. I love all those. But I hit Rosalani, it's over. No ice cream's going to touch that one. And so, once you taste something's really good, you won't settle for the other thing. And some people see the kingdom in manifestation. God gives them a taste, but they don't think it's good enough to be worth repositioning yourself to get it. We lived on one side of, we were staying on one side of the island of Kauai, where there was no Rosalani ice cream. Rosalani ice cream was on the far opposite side of the island. I mean, diagonal straight across the center of the island. And we would travel through traffic to get to Rosalani ice cream. And then I went to two or three supermarkets before I could finally find it where they were selling it in the half-gallon containers. I was willing to reposition myself to find the best. Now, some people say, hey, there's an ice milk stand just right around the corner. Let's go get some ice milk. I'm not going to get ice milk. You're not going to give me ice milk. You follow me? There are certain things that just aren't worth me wasting my eating effort or intake of calories for what I'm partaking of. Amen. Now, this is going to offend some people potentially. Oreo cookies are not worth me taking the effort to eat them. I can eat an Oreo. There's, 150 calories. It's not worth it. It doesn't taste that good to me. Give me a oatmeal raisin, chocolate chip type cookie, hot out of the oven. Now you found something worth eating. Amen. I will reposition myself for an oatmeal raisin cookie. But not an Oreo. You come to the cabin, I won't get them. Go get them. And there's other foods. Just not worth my effort to go get them. You know, the kids will have foods at our house, and they get this food. I will not take time to heat up a frozen burrito. I will fast before I eat a frozen burrito. I used to eat frozen burritos. Amen. And then I ate real burritos. Now I'm not eating a frozen burrito. I don't eat frozen corn dogs. Amen. Or frozen chicken nuggets. confused kind. And I'm not going to eat watered down, powerless doctrine or word. It's worth my effort. You wonder where I was going, right? It's worth my effort to get up and fight the battles and press through for the real thing that produces supernatural results. And so many people are looking for microwave easy, boiling bag, you know, boiling bags anymore. Looking for microwave Christianity. Oh, just give me the push button version of the gospel. There is no push button version of the gospel. It's pull levers, push pedals, crank this, climb that, jump down that. I mean, it's you're going to have to fight some spiritual battles. That's why Jesus said, endure to the end. But the thing is it's a fight of faith. And if you stand in faith, you win. And I like to win. I don't like to lose. I don't like to lose anything. I don't like to lose tiddlywinks. I only play it. I like to win. And I especially don't like to lose against the devil when things really matter. And so it's worth it to me to take the extra effort to fight. Now, I'm trying to think whether to go in this or not. You guys are probably tired of Words with Friends examples. They have a new thing on Words with Friends called Leadership Board, where you play, whoever wants to play can play, that's your friend. And they give you a board already partially filled out in so many letters. And you try to score your maximum points. I don't just start throwing tiles on the board. I plan out my words. I calculate the maximum possible score I can make, as far as in my knowledge. Because I don't like to perform at an okay or just get by level. I had one the other day. They had given me enough letters. I spent probably 3 hours working on one puzzle. Just got caught up in it. Now to me, it's relaxing. Amen. Trying to score some points. Something that means nothing. In fact, there's nobody playing to me anymore except Patty. She just started. So where somebody's scoring, maybe they're scoring 150 points, I'm scoring 500. Because I'm taking the time to plan it out because I want to maximize it. The point is, put in the extra effort for things to really count for the kingdom of God. Now, I'm never putting 3 hours on a puzzle like that again. It was just one I did that one time. In Jesus' name. But the point is, I'm going to max it out. Be willing to go into the things of God to max it out. Because lukewarm gets spewed out of God's mouth. He's looking for on fire people. Let's go another verse here. We'll close this out. Matthew chapter 7. Go to verse number 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now Jesus says, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord. In other words, they've come to the cross. They've come to the cross and at least said, Lord, Lord. But they never went any further. He said, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God, but he that doeth or obeyeth my leading from that point on. Now, I praise God for the mercy of God, the understanding of God, the wisdom of God, that He didn't expect perfection from us. But he does expect us to know his voice. And to the level that we know his voice and hear it, to obey it. And the Lord, when you get to the point of Jesus, when you get to the point of saying, Lord, Lord, you get to the cross. And then because now the Spirit of God moves us and that we can hear his voice and obey, that voice will never take you back that direction. The Spirit of God's effort is always to take us into the direction of living in the kingdom. So therefore, the one that learns to move into living out of the kingdom is the one that he says, I knew you. To stay right here and never change, to stay right here and say, God doesn't see my sin, to stay right here and say, well, you know, God, just take me as I am, Lord, Lord, potentially is living in a deception that will take you to hell. Because it's more than just coming to the break point of the cross, it's moving into now living out of the kingdom that God's after. I know this threatens so many people's stability and doctrine. And, you know, we just want to believe that all you got to do is say, Jesus, be my Lord, I've received salvation, and you're sealed in heaven, your name's written down in the book of life, and now you know you're going to heaven no matter what. We want that. We just have a problem with it. It's not scriptural. It doesn't line up with the fullness of the Word of God. Amen? Because here he said, people will come and say, Lord, Lord, we did gifts, we functioned in power. And they'll say, I never knew you. I couldn't lead you into what I had before you. You were doing it on your own plan. You were doing and tasting what you wanted to taste. And he says, I've got a purpose for your life, and I couldn't get you into it. See, this is serious stuff. And if I had to say there's a danger in the church today, especially the American church, it's probably worldwide, but I know in America, is our cavalier attitude about salvation. Our whatsoever will be attitude towards Christianity. I'm just floating through this life and I love Jesus. I believe in God. The devil believes in God and trembles at the name of Jesus. Is this attitude, well, I'll just do it my way. It's a theme song of hell. God's saying, no, 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 no. Go into the kingdom. Learn to function in faith. Learn how divine order operates. Learn how prayer covering operates. Learn how to speak words of authority and walk in the anointing. When we do, we make a connection with God where He leads us all the way into way above what we thought we could ever move into. He's not looking for just getting my laborers. I've been in management in the past. Had people, of course, I am today, I guess, with the church, some type of management. As a manager, I've recognized three types of employees. There's the employee that doesn't want to be there, that skips out every chance they get, they don't do the job, they don't produce, they don't perform. And you know what? You just cut those employees loose. You say, get going. I don't need you. Out of here. And then you have the employees that excel. They come to work, they're there on time or early, they're there to do the best they can for the company or whatever organization. They're there to be the maximum producer and they so want to move into promotion or into, you know, excellence. That you don't have to do anything except direct them, show them the direction to go. They'll get it done. And you embrace those employees. But the most frustrating ones are the ones in the center here. They come to work. They do the basic job. They just get by. If you ask them to do something extra, they're like, what are you paying me? Why? Why don't they have to do this? And you have to sell them on everything you want them to do. Why you got to do that? Why do you want me to do that? What, this is what I need done. Well, why? And you feel like you're trying to drag, 13-year-old kids into the work market. Amen. Fortunately, with engineers, I didn't have that very often. But we did have it. And they would fight you every step of the way and look for every loophole how to get out of work. How can I get out of this? How can I get more for it? What are you reimbursing me for that? You know, I had to spend 35 cents for, you know, some rubber gloves or something like that. Where's my reimbursement form? But no. If you just do excellence, if you just form excellence, I would so reward you. I'd get so much in your hands. If you just get out of this, what are you paying me mentality, I'll give you exceeding abundantly above what you ever asked or thought. And you chew your nails over that kind of employee. Shouldn't say chew your nails. Grit your teeth or whatever. You endure. And God has Christians that do like that. What I get if I come to prayer? Amen. What's God going to give me if I get in the Word? What's God going to do for me if I bless someone or whatever? It's always about what am I getting versus how am I moving into living out of this kingdom? Of really making the separation from the old way of living into God's way of living. And the one that will make the separation, amen, that will obey Him and going into what He has. You talk about a God that can promote you. Amen. Have you seen that commercial about I forget who it's for. It's for some shipping company or something. And the lady says, I found a way to ship your packages cheaper and everything. And I guess this guy owns the company, small company. And he said, that's excellent. That's excellent. Very good job. She says, do I get a promotion? Y'all seen this one? So the boss steps back and he goes, I got news. You got a new job title. She said, no raise? He says, management couldn't make that happen. If you've seen the commercial. In other words, the boss says, great job, you went above and beyond, but you get a new title, that's it. He couldn't give her a raise. You talk about a God that will give you a raise above what you ever thought. Are y'all still with me from the minute or two? When I first got saved, and Patty and I, not long after, we went to a Full Gospel Businessmen's luncheon, and there was a guy, I saw him laying hands on people, and they were falling out in the Spirit. Never seen it before. And we've been to a lot of churches. We'd never seen anybody slain in the Spirit. And this guy had him lined up, he was in Africa. From Africa, he was going to a Lee College down in Cleveland. And a training in ministry. And he was up praying for people. They were going out. Psh, psh, psh. And I'm going, wow. I mean, I was like the deer in the headlights. Look, you know. Wow. And people are talking to me. I'm going, are you seeing this? They're talking like nothing's happening. They're carrying on conversation about the ball game or whatever, about this or some scripture. I'm going, wait, are you seeing this? That was my attitude. I was like, I was watching anything better than any Super Bowl I'd ever seen. I'm watching God touch people with supernatural power, and they're going down. I said, what's going on? They're being slain in the Spirit. What? It explained to me. The power of God hit them, and they go down. I was mesmerized. And I remember thinking, a man of God that could ever do that had pretty much reached the epitome of ministry. Do you follow me? If you could lay hands on somebody and the power of God hit them, that their knees actually went out or they went backwards, they have now reached the epitome of ministry power. Wow! Not knowing in a few years I'd be running a Bible study, I'd see people laid all over the place. And we thought that was it. I mean, you touch somebody and the power of God hit them. Now we take that for granted. I tell you, I was mesmerized, and I still get excited at it. Especially the ones that they don't even know that it can happen. And you touch them and the power of God hits them. Next thing, and so they're like, they hit the floor and they're like, "What happened?" You know. I get excited about it. But God's taken us so far beyond that. That God's already done exceeding abundantly what I could ask or think from 20, almost 30 years ago, what I witnessed. That the healings that are taking place, I didn't even know about healings. I was just impressed somebody went down. I didn't know they could get healed. And all the miracles and the healings we're seeing, God took us beyond our vision then. Why did He do that? Because we were faithful to seek Him, to move into the kingdom then. Think what's going to happen in the end times as the glory starts to manifest. And I'm talking about the world's turned upside down and the power of God's, I'm talking about dancing in services. Think what's going to happen in your life because you were faithful to go into the kingdom now. It's going to supersede anything we can imagine today. That's why He says, I will do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. You know when we say that verse out of Ephesians chapter 3, we quote that verse, God will do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. You know the first thing everybody says? I believe for $10 million. Or $10 billion. 10 bazillion. Well, let's take it over into money. At least I did. Because we always had money demands. Oh, Jesus, yes! Exceeding abundantly above. That's money! Give me money! I believe it's included. I believe as this prosperity phenomenon of the end times manifests, we're going to see financial blessing like we can't even dream of. But the main exceeding abundantly above is the power of God that's going to be on you. And the miracles are going to take place through you. Just by being faithful to go after the kingdom. Refusing the just get by mentality. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Well, you bunch of evangelists, financiers, ministers, and praisers and intercessors. Hug some necks, share the love of God, be a blessing. Father, we speak this word sealed in us and make us hungry to live out of your kingdom. In Jesus' name.